Our reading for this morning is taken from the letter of known as 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I'd like you to think back to the Sunday that spring break started, March 8th, 40 days ago. How many people have seen you since then? How many people at the mall or maybe in some activity on campus, maybe in your home, family, maybe during spring break on the beach or something? So how many people have seen you in the last 40 days? We're told about Jesus that after he rose again from the dead, Luke tells us Jesus presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days. And I often wonder how many actual people got to see the resurrected Christ. Now, we know of at least 513. Listen to what Paul writes. He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. So at least 513 we know of from Scripture. Now, let's imagine for a moment, what if 100 less people had seen Christ risen from the dead? Would that make his resurrection any less true? What if 200 less people or 300 less people? What if 450 less people saw him risen from the dead? Would that mean his resurrection was any less true or reliable? What if only one person saw Jesus resurrected after he came out of his grave? Or how about this? What if when Christ came out of his grave and the stone was rolled away and the soldier was knocked over, the soldier didn't even see him and he just went directly to heaven? That certainly wasn't God's plan, and God had plenty of reasons for him to be on the earth for those 40 days. But what if that had been the case? Would that make his actual resurrection any less real or any less true? Doubting Thomas, when Thomas doubted the resurrected Christ and that it had actually happened, did that make Jesus less risen? No, it certainly affected how Thomas looked at it, but it really didn't change the event itself at all. Even before you or I had ever come to faith or even heard about Christ, God was changing the world's relationship to himself through Christ's death and resurrection. We're told by Paul, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So God took the entire world's population of all time, you included, full of sin and immorality, full of all of this wickedness and evil, and he instead chose to make all of that and every one of you, myself included, acceptable to him through the work of the death and resurrection of Christ. And this entire plan became fulfilled when our Lord Jesus rose from the dead on that first Easter. Now, John says this to you about your faith that grabs on to this. He says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now notice how closely God in Scripture associates the faith in your heart with the power of Christ, the resurrected Christ, and his supremacy over death. Faith is the very victory itself now, God says. Not because your faith is so fantastic, not because your faith has done anything, but because your faith that God has created is resting upon this risen Christ. Dr. David Scair says this, faith never creates the reality. Faith never creates the reality. Faith merely grasps this greater reality. For years, theologians have tried to kind of analyze the various aspects of faith and categorize it. I've seen some that get as many as 15 different elements or aspects to faith. The one I like is the simplest, typically. The simpler things appeal to me more. And that is three basic elements of faith. One is just knowledge. There's a knowledge element of faith. Then there's an assent element. An assent element means that you say this is true. And then finally, the greatest and most important part is trust or confidence, that element of faith. Let me use kind of an illustration today as we close to help us understand this better. There's a company out in Mesa, Arizona called Priority One Air Rescue. And they build rescue materials for helicopters to get people off of boats and things. They design and build those famous baskets that by cables are dropped down over boats when boats are sinking. And the Coast Guard buys a lot of material from them. Well, let's imagine for a moment that you work at that factory, that you work in the factory and you've been there for years. And you know the designer who has come up with this basket. And you've seen all of the statistics and reports through the years of working there on how reliable these are. You can quote exactly what the square footage and capacity is and how strong the cable is, all of this different stuff. And you have all of this knowledge. You've walked on the assembly line, and you've actually observed how careful the workers are, knowing how important their job is. You've watched the craftsmanship that's gone into this. You see how the welders make sure that the welds are all very secure and everything. So you are well trained and known about this place where you work that builds these baskets. And you're suddenly on vacation, and a friend has invited you to go out on his yacht under the Gulf of Mexico, way out in the middle of the Gulf. And suddenly the ship that you're on develops a big hole, and it's starting to sink slowly. And they call for the Coast Guard. And a Coast Guard helicopter comes over your boat, and you look up, and as the basket is being lowered down to rescue the 20 people on board, as the basket is being lowered down, you recognize the logo from the company where you work. You recognize this Priority One logo. And as the first child is being placed into that basket, kind of scared, you step up and you say, "I work at this place. I know that this is a good quality, but you're going to be fine." And that child goes up into the helicopter. And as each individual goes, you've decided, "I'll be the last one." And as each individual starts going, there's kind of a larger woman that's going to get on, and she's not so sure that she should trust herself and her weight into that basket. And you say to her, "This basket can carry over 2,000 pounds. I've seen how they make them, and the welds are strong, and the cable is firm. It's fine. You get in there. It's no problem at all." You give your assent to this with all of the knowledge that you have about it. You have firm faith in it for her to get in, and she does and is rescued. And finally, you're the last one, and the basket comes back down for you. And finally now, you crawl in. And this is now a different element of trusting. This is putting your personal confidence into that basket. When God calls upon you to believe in the resurrected Christ, part of that is to know about him. And this campus teaches you the knowledge of Christ in wonderful ways. And we can expound on the doctrines and break them down and give all of the theological jargon, which is great and important to know and learn. We can also give our assent that all of this is true. But when God calls upon you through his word to believe in Christ, he wants you to get in the basket. He's calling on you to trust him, not just know about him, not just be able to identify that this is true and it happened, but to put your confidence in him about your own death and your own resurrection. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. Let us please rise for prayer. I invite you to turn to page 155 in the front part of your hymn book. We will use collect or prayer number 65. Number 65. Please join me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that of your indescribable grace, for the sake of your Son, you have given us the Holy Gospel and have instituted the Holy Sacraments, that through these we may have comfort and forgiveness of sin. We beseech you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe your word, and through the holy sacraments, day by day, establish our faith until we at last obtain eternal salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.